Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello there and welcome once again to the Gary Zimek Show. I'm so glad you were able to stop by. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. And as I always tell you, I hope you can stick around for the entire show. This week, we're going to look at the Sunday Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. Kind of hard to believe we're this far along. There's five Sundays in Lent. We're already at the third. And then we have Palm Sunday, and then followed by Holy Week leading up to Easter. So we still have several weeks left to go during Lent. But I think personally it's a good idea to look at where we stand, to know where we are, especially when it comes to Lent or Advent, so that we can better prepare. And we could really make sure we're allowing the Holy Spirit to help us to move closer to the Lord. Today's title, I call this program, Life-Giving Water. I think that's the theme that we're going to see in all of the readings. So we're going to look at them all as we do each week. And again, I just invite you to settle in, relax, and why don't we pray before we start? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for being here with us right now. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you are bigger than our problems. And you know that you can hear us right now, as well as see us. Father, as we continue our Lenten journeys, we ask you to help us. Help us to be able to grow closer to you, to be able to follow your Son Jesus more closely, even when it involves a cross or something that's unpleasant. Help us to always want to follow him. Father, we ask that you keep us safe, as well as our loved ones and our friends. And Father, please pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us today so that we can hear your message and put it into practice in our lives. Finally, Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument. Help me to know what it is that I'm supposed to say so that I can deliver the message that you have for us. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. I'm about ready to get started. It's funny, right before I went on the air, I don't know if you can hear it or not, my allergies started acting up. It's very strange. I can't figure out allergies anymore. I went most of my life without having a problem, but the past several years have been tough, and it doesn't seem to matter what season we're in. Winter, spring, summer, fall, it never seems to matter with me. It just kicks up sometimes. So what I'm hoping is I'm not going to have to sneeze while we're on the air, but you never know. So excuse me in advance. You know, if you remember, not too long ago, I was dealing with a cough, the post-bronchitis cough, but that seems to have gone away, so now I'm going to have the allergies starting. But anyway, it is great to be with you here as we continue our journey through Lent. Give up worry, for Lent is going good. The parish missions have been going fantastic. You know, it was a little overwhelming for me because I knew I had seven of them this year. Never have done that many during the Lenten season before. But, the Lord's been good to me. He's been giving me the grace I need, which is the way he works. You know, I think sometimes with all of our problems, with the things that concern us, if we would just let him work, if we would just turn to him and ask for that help, he would sustain us. If he brings you to it, as the saying goes, he will bring you through it. And I think that's a reminder for me and for you, maybe, if you struggle, if you're struggling with something right now. The Lord's not going to let you go through something or allow you to enter into a storm or a difficult time without giving you the help you need. He just doesn't work that way. So you can really count on his help. And, you know, today we're going to talk about life-giving water. That's grace. That's the grace that the Lord wants to give us to help us, to get through the problems of life, but more importantly, to help us to be holy so that we can grow in holiness. We can't do it on our own. All we can do is cooperate with that grace. So we're limited, but then ultimately living a holy life will result in living eternally in complete happiness in heaven. So he gives us what we need, despite our weaknesses, despite our imperfections, to become holy and to do his will. And you know, there's a lot of challenges we face in life. And during Lent, we recognize, we work on trying to turn away from the things that keep us from growing closer to the Lord, keep us from doing his will, and to more readily do his will with the help of his grace. So that's what we're going to talk about, that life-giving water, that grace that flows from the fountain of the Lord. In case you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimak, and you can find out more about my work by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. I mentioned earlier that I'm in the midst of doing 7 Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions. And that the missions, in case you're not familiar with my work, the missions are based on my book of the same name, which continues to sell. And I am so incredibly humbled with the way that the Lord is using me as his instrument with that whole Give Up Worry movement, I call it, because it really is. Everywhere I go, I went to a parish mission not too long ago when somebody said, "We've been using your book for the past 3 years. There's a small group study based on the book at that parish." I mean, all without my knowledge. I had no idea that was going on. And it's great to hear stories a lot like that. My book, your book changed my life, or my mother's life, or my friend's life. And it just blows me away how the Lord can use me. But it's really that concept of breaking free from worry. So many people are worried right now, and you might be one of them. So I really hope my work and my podcast can bring you some consolation. And again, if you want to find out more about the work that I do, or maybe invite me to your parish to speak or to do a retreat or a parish mission, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Right now, I'm booking for later this year and also for 2024. It's hard to believe that's not that far away. So if you want to bring me in to speak, now would be a good time to do it. Followingthetruth.com. Okay, I'm going to take a quick sip of my water. And I am ready to get started. So we're looking at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. And as I always do, I'm going to follow the guidance of the church and place some emphasis on the gospel. The church emphasizes the gospel, tells us that even though all of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's all God's word, the Gospels have a place of prominence because it's from the Gospels that we learn about Jesus. So I like to start with the Gospel on the program and then work backwards. The Gospel today comes from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. It's a bit lengthier. We've had a string of short Gospels. This one's a bit lengthier, but it tells such a good narrative. It's got such a good story that I don't think it's overly burdensome. I think it's, you know, if you just follow along the story, I think it's interesting how it plays out. So without any further commentary from me, let's look at it. John chapter 4, we begin in verse 5. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." I do want to point out one thing. This gospel is lengthier, so I'm not going to pause it too many times, but I think it's important to note the fact that this woman was here at noon, or was there at the well at noon, is somewhat unusual. People would typically draw water from the well when it's not that hot out. Noontime, the sun's going to be beating down. That is not a normal time for a woman to be drawing water from the well. And apparently, judging by the commentaries I've read on this, she wasn't looking to encounter too many people. So she figured the well would be empty and she would be able to slip in and slip out without being noticed. And as this story plays out, you're going to see why she didn't want to draw attention to herself. So she came up to Jesus, or Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Little side note here, the Samaritans and Jews were enemies. They didn't like each other. And the fact that Jesus would ask a Samaritan for a drink is unusual. But the fact that he would ask a woman and approach a woman that way, that in his time was an unusual thing to do as well. So this is a sign, a reminder for us that Jesus doesn't play by the normal rules. He doesn't exclude anybody. He reaches out to people regardless of their religion, regardless of who they are. He is everybody's Savior, and he's looking to reach out to all of us. Nobody is left out by Jesus. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, I lost my place. "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Now Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, and I kind of like this dialogue here. It just goes to show how much Jesus knows about us. And sometimes we try to pull the wool over his eyes, but he really knows what's going on in our lives. And Jesus said to the woman, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands." Wow. "And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I could see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." See, what's happening here is the woman doesn't recognize. She's heard about the Messiah, but she, like so many people in the time of our Lord, she didn't recognize that he was the one. And he told her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." Now let's see how she reacts, because a lot of times, you know, when people recognize, or when they hear Jesus say that he's the Messiah, they don't want to believe him. They find reasons to not believe that he is who he says he is. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" Now, she left her water jar. She's so excited about this encounter with Jesus that she goes into the town and wants to share this news with people. But she's still not 100% sure. That's why she asked that question. Could he possibly be the Christ? But you can see she's starting to come around. They went out of the town and came to him. So she's being an evangelist by, even though she doesn't understand everything about what's happening with Jesus, she knows enough to go get some people and bring them back to him. And they went out of the town, the people went out, and they came to Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat," because they knew he was hungry and he was tired. But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish the work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Essentially, Jesus is saying to his disciples that, "I've got work to do. Let's put the food on hold right now. I have bodily needs, but my will, my food, my ultimate food," Jesus says, "is to do the will of the Father." In other words, he is here on a mission, and that comes first to him. And really, that's a good example for us during Lent. How many times do we put off doing God's will because something else more important, or at least seems more important to us, comes up? But Jesus is focused on doing the will of the Father. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." Isn't that amazing? Even though she may not have understood fully, she brought people to Jesus. And I think for us, for all of us, that is a lesson. If we bring people to Jesus in some way, we can just give them a book or say we'll pray for them or tell our own story. Even if we don't understand everything about Jesus, you don't need to be a theologian to try to bring people to him. But you see what happens here. The Samaritans are beginning to believe in him because of the word of the woman who came to them. When the Samaritans came to Jesus, they invited him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." So isn't that amazing? What initially started them on the road to accepting Jesus as their Savior was the word of a woman who said, "I think this could be the Messiah. I'm not sure, but I think this could be the Messiah. He knew everything about me." And by her leading these people, the Samaritan people, to Jesus, she evangelized. She led them to Christ, and then he takes over from there. And I think for all of us, that's the message. If we can just try to lead people to Jesus in some way, then he's going to take over and do the work and change their hearts. Their conversion is going to come about, not by our words, but by the words of Christ. However, our job is to find ways to simply lead people to Jesus. Let's look at the first reading now. Exodus chapter 17, verses 3 through 7. "In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So here's what's happening in this Old Testament reading. The people are thirsty. They're thirsting for water. They're blaming Moses. They're saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? We're thirsty." They're so focused on their material thirst that they're not able to see the spiritual water that the Lord can provide. So, and Moses is frustrated too. You're going to see this. So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall we do with these people? A little more and they will stone me." I like this because Moses gives us a good example of what to do when we can't handle the situations that come upon us in life. He's turning to the Lord and asking for help. And the Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" This water, this spiritual water, this is grace. We saw it in the gospel, and we see what the grace provided by Jesus Christ did to the Samaritan people as well as the woman at the well. They began to change. Their hearts were softened. The grace began to bear some kind of fruit in their lives. And we see this same thing with the people, the Israelites, who are grumbling because they're thirsty. And they're challenging Moses. And the Lord basically works a miracle through Moses to let water flow from the rock. And this is a great symbol, a great sign to the people, to let them see the power of God working through his servant Moses, which is sense. I mean, we're going to see the actual water come out of the rock, but that symbolizes the grace that God's willing to give us all. The grace to draw closer to him, the grace to become holy, the grace to do his will, the grace to experience peace. It's all grace. And it flows from the Lord. The psalm, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 95. "If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart." See, the people of Israel, their hearts were hardened. And that's where they were grumbling against Moses. They were fed up. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave slavery because they were eating and drinking better. I mean, it's insane, but I think the same thing happens to us oftentimes when we get to enjoy our sin. Our sinful habits feel good, and we don't want to leave them sometimes. And that's going to be a challenge for the rest of our lives. But grace can soften hearts. We saw it happen with the woman at the well and the Samaritan people as well. They encounter Jesus, they get some of that life-giving water, and all of a sudden, they have this interior conversion. Back to the responsorial psalm, "Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. Now here, what I'm going to read next from Psalm 95 is the connection between that first reading and the psalm. "Oh, that today you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, although they had seen my works." See, the people were frustrated. They were tired. They were grumbling against Moses, but really against the Lord. "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And we see this potential occasions for conversion taking place in the gospel as well as the first reading. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace. See, there's that grace again, that life-giving water, to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. See that grace again? Poured out into our hearts, living water, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And ultimately, the grace flows through Jesus, mainly by what he did on Calvary. That grace, that Calvary, that sacrifice, that offering he made of his own life, that's what unleashed all of this grace that comes to us, and it is available to us primarily through the church. The main source of grace is the sacraments. The sacraments are incredibly important. If you want to get to know Jesus, there's no better way to do it than by receiving the sacraments frequently. So I would highly recommend that. The Eucharist and confession, they're the ones we typically receive most frequently, but especially during Lent, make it a point to get to communion and get to confession as often as you can, so that you can tap into that life-giving grace, or that life-giving water known as grace, which is going to change your heart, which is going to enable you to leave your old way of life behind, not necessarily externally, but internally, and become the person that the Lord wants you to become. During Lent, we're especially dependent, or we're looking for all the grace that we can get so we can make those changes that we know we need to make. All righty, believe it or not, we are just about out of time. It's been a pleasure to be with you. If you would like to find out more about me, or maybe stay in touch, sign up for my daily newsletter, please visit followingthetruth.com. If you'd be kind enough to consider making a donation to keep my full-time ministry going, I would appreciate that as well. You could do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the Donate tab. And at that point, you'll be able to donate securely using PayPal. So that's followingthetruth.com to donate to my ministry and keep me going. Keep me going forward with spreading the good news. Well, I look forward to joining you again next week on the program. In the meantime, I'm going to be doing my traveling. Please pray for me as I travel across the country, giving the remainder of the Give Up Worry for Lent Parish Missions. I will pray for you as well. And let's keep walking through Lent. Still have a few weeks left. We're not anywhere near at a point where we should panic. No matter how your Lent's going, there is always time to make this the best Lent that you have ever experienced. And I mean that. Let me know if you need anything. Reach me through the website, followingthetruth.com. But in the meantime, let's keep praying for one another and trying to access that life-giving water that Jesus wants us to drink. Have a great day. Talk to you next week. God bless you.